This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 19, where I talk with Troublemaker about her poem 4 AM. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, my name is Troublemaker, and this is entitled 4 AM. Sitting on my bed at night, wishing for a star. Come wave hello for my delight, night owls we are. Come take my hand and lead me through the universe at large. Bless me with your tinkling laugh among the planet shards. Sitting in my bed at night, eyes are wide awake. Looking at the moon so clear, its presence I can't shake. A comet shows me wrinkles of the time I spend asleep. Making sense of dreams I've dreamt, it answers in a peep. Looking out my window shade, the silence greets my soul. Suspended plasma takes a breath, it takes a pleasant pull. How many shadows do appear on any given night? How many sneezes from a star dispel and bring in light? Lying on my bed at night, eyes are getting dimmer. Thinking of humanity, are we just a filler? The middle pages to the end of something extraordinary. But what we do matters, it's not imaginary. Eyes grow dim and hearts will slow. I'm the only person blinking. Everyone oblivious to the birds and shadow kisses. I've stayed far too late into the night. My eyes have fluttered closed. The silence is a comfort and the stars have let me doze.
Yay, thank you so much. So, what was your inspiration for this?
So I was up at 4 in the morning one evening, sometime during the summer. I think I was just enjoying not having school or work. And I saw the moon outside my window, and I guess I just started thinking of the solar system and planets and stars. And yeah, then came the poem.
That is really cool. So, I like how you have some rhyming in here, and how it sort of reads like a children's bedtime story, but in a really cool way. Like that just like comforting rhyming kind of thing. Do you use rhyme a lot in your writing, and do you think that it changes your tone?
I do. I use rhyme a lot. When I was younger, I thought the only kind of poems there were like rhyming poems. It's like free verse. What is this? No. So I always used to rhyme my poems. I think it does give it a sort of tone to it, I guess. And my first book of poetry that I ever read was a very whimsical book. With all this really, it's called the Random House Book of Poetry. So they have all these random kid stories in it. And so I think I started writing like that, which was very humorous and very quirky. And in that, I always rhymed. And then I think when I do free verse, it's a different voice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that when I rhyme, which is not very often now, but I think I take on a very pretentious and formal tone. Like everything has to be very serious, even though I feel like rhyming is sort of a lighthearted way to like describe something or write about something. But yeah, I definitely can relate to that. I had the same thing when I was younger where I thought everything had to rhyme, but not like complex rhymes, very, very basic rhymes. Like you, two, blue, stuff like that. Things that just like pop off in your head. So that was sort of like a roadblock for me because I felt like I was kind of stuck in that form. But then I moved on to free verse. And then I figured out that there weren't really any rules and I could just write whatever I wanted. And that's when I think I really started to become super interested in poetry. And it wasn't just like, oh yeah, this is something I do when like I've watched all the episodes of Hannah Montana or something. You know, it wasn't just like something to do when I had free time. It was something I really enjoyed. So anyway, there's a little story. So there are so many lines in here that I really like. Like, come wave hello for my delight. Come take my hand and lead me through the universe at large. Bless me with your tinkling laugh among the planet shards. There's a lot of beautiful imagery and descriptions of the stars and just like the whole solar system in general. And I like how you personify the stars as like a mystical being and a source of comfort instead of like a reminder of the dark. Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah, kind of. I feel like I've been trying to put personification more into my writing. And in this, like, I don't know, I guess I just thought of them more as a person.
I think that personification is really interesting, and it's definitely a way to make your writing, like, three-dimensional, and to just make it seem more like, wow, this is really well written, and not just like, oh, that's a cool simile or metaphor. So, yeah, I think that that's a good tip for new writers who are trying to find ways to spice up their writing or make it seem a little more technical, I guess, is to just use personification. Imagine something that's not alive as being alive and its personality and what it'd look like and smell like and what its voice would sound like. That's actually a really good writing exercise too for people. And I think I used to do that a lot, where I take something like, I don't know, a pen, and then I start writing about like its personality and stuff. Did you ever do that?
I haven't done that. That sounds like a really cool idea. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take you up on that.
And then I think I did a couple, like a whole series of poems a while ago. And one was about silence and the idea of silence as like a person. And that was really interesting. So anyway, personification is cool. It's a cool little writing technique. So another line I like was, a comet shows me wrinkles of the time I spent asleep. And I love this sort of intentional or unintentional reference to a wrinkle in time, because that story is so like wacky and imaginative. And I feel like it's sort of similar to this poem too, where you have like these big questions of humanity and purpose and stuff, and then the like night sky and mystical things coming together. Was that sort of the vibe that you had thought of when you were writing it, or that had inspired you to write it?
Yeah, I definitely love the title A Wrinkle in Time. And so that's basically where this line came from. I was still always confused on the storyline of it. Like, it was really cool to me, but then at the same time, I was like, I don't think I fully understand. But that's definitely where the comet and wrinkles came from.
Did you see the movie version of it that came out like a few years ago? What did you think of it?
I mean, with any movie to book kind of representation, there's always some difference that I don't particularly like. I think it was good for a movie to book adaptation. But I think there were some parts that were a little different.
Yeah, I think that I had just loved the book so much. And whenever I love a book and then I see it in a movie, I'm always like, this is not what was in my mind. Oh, this is horrible. So I liked the costumes. Those were interesting. But I think that the whole kind of way that they showed it, it just wasn't how I had pictured it. And then because I'm so particular about that, I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those really classic books from that sort of time period are the ones that I really liked. Like A Wrinkle in Time was one of my favorites when I was younger. So, making sense of dreams I've dreamt is another one of your lines. And this had me thinking about dreams. And do your dreams ever inspire or influence your writing? And do you ever like take a dream that you've had, like a really interesting concept, and then turn it into a poem or some form of writing?
I don't think I usually do that, mostly because I don't remember my dreams when I wake up, which is horrible. I tried to have like a dream journal where as soon as you wake up, you just like, you write down whatever you remember from that dream. I should start using it again, because I don't know, I feel like dreams in quarantine have gotten so much more interesting, but I haven't based a poem off of my dreams.
I was taking a psychology class. One of the questions or assignments was to track your dreams for a week and then sort of turn them into a poem or form of writing. Actually, no, maybe it was for poetry. It was for either psychology or poetry. And both of those classes I love so much, so I think they're kind of melding together in my mind. But anyway, I had this really interesting dream that week, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect for it. So in my dream, I was walking in my neighborhood, and I was barefoot, and I looked down at my feet, and these big white flowers bloomed on top of my feet, but they were like attached to my skin. And it was really interesting and really vivid, and I can still picture it in my mind, but I sort of used that as inspiration to write a poem about it. And that was really interesting to see how like this visual that I thought only I would ever see and understand was then like put into words, and other people could sort of visualize it the way I had. And around that time, I was actually having really interesting dreams. And I had this one dream where I was in a car with my brother, and then we stopped the car, and I flew up and out of the seat, and I was like suspended in midair. And it was so weird and so funky. So I wrote about that too. And that's actually one of my favorite poems, because I feel like it's just, you can really picture it. And that's what I was trying to do. So, more questions. How many sneezes from a star dispel and bring in light? This is interesting to me, and it stuck out to me because of the word sneeze, which I feel like is such a casual word. Like, it makes this big sort of question about stars and the universe and stuff. What was your inspiration for putting in that juxtaposition?
I think I was thinking about if a star was a person, you know, how we sneeze, it's just like, you know, air, and hopefully that's it. And when a star sneezes, it could be, you know, stardust or astral particles or something, and it would probably look really beautiful. And then that kind of became the line.
That is very interesting. I love how there are like little nuances that each writer puts into their work that are so interesting and so particular to their personalities and how they like view the world. But oh my gosh, do you think that, okay, this is a serious question. Do you think that you have a weird sneeze? Because everyone else thinks that my sneeze is very weird. And it's funny because every time that I'm on like a Zoom or a video call and I sneeze, it's of course right by my microphone, so everyone hears me, and then they're like, oh my gosh, was that you? And it's so weird. But anyway, do you think that you have a weird sneeze?
I guess to some people I do, but I not that weird though, because I do make like the achoo sound. But I have a friend who sneezes in a question. She's like, achoo? I'm like, was that a question? She's like, no, I sneezed. I was like, that wasn't a sneeze. You were inquiring something there.
Oh, that's great. Oh, when I sneeze, it's at you. Ah! And there's like this big thing at the end. And I think that's the part that everyone laughs at. But I've always sort of been angry at the people who sneeze and they're like, achoo. And it's just so quiet. And so just like, they're like just saying a word. And it's not like this big, loud affair. They're just like, achoo.
I love the people who they don't even say at you, they kind of just like yell. There is a kid in my high school who, and we have like a nice echoey hallway, and he'll sneeze from one end of the hallway. Everybody hears it, and everyone in his class goes, oh, bless you, because they all know the kid because of it. But it's scary. It's like, are you okay?
And it's just so funny to like hear other people sneeze, and like how you wouldn't expect someone who's like tall and broad to have like such a tiny little sneeze, or someone who's tiny has such a big sneeze. So I find that interesting. Sneezes are very interesting.
They are interesting.
There's another writing prompt. Oh my gosh, we're going to come up with so many right now. Actually, moving on to the next question because of that. Where do you get writing prompts? Do you make up your own? Do you find them on YWP? Do you find them in the back of the newspaper?
Oh, good question. For a while, I just used the Young Writers Project challenges and prompts. And I'll do this thing where I just like close my eyes and scroll through all of them. And then whatever it lands on is the one I'll do, just for fun. And then recently, I've been looking into other writing websites, and they actually have like, for the month, I'll post different writing prompts. So those are always fun to look at. And usually I'll alter them a little bit or like read between the lines of them.
Do you find that it's easier for you to work from a prompt than just going straight from your mind?
Ooh, sometimes yes and sometimes no. If I don't want to write anything in particular, then I won't mind using a prompt. But if I have something I really want to say, then usually the prompts, I think about it too much, I guess. So then I kind of get into my own head, and then it doesn't produce something that I really like.
I don't think I would ever just be in the mood to write and then think, oh, let me find a prompt. I think I would just open up my notebook and just start writing about something random. But I do like workshops and prompts and workshops because I think it's cool to see how everyone responds differently. And for some reason, I usually always come up with something in writing workshops and not because there are prompts. But I can't when I'm just on my own with prompts, which is weird. I don't know why that happens. So your ending of the poem is, the silence is a comfort and the stars have let me doze. And the inspiration for this, and sort of like, I guess, how did you know that this is how you wanted to end the poem?
I kind of did it. When I started writing this, actually, I just finished a really good book, I think. And I was, like, awake from just the beautifulness of that book. And I just kind of started writing, and I had no idea where it was going to get to. And then probably the last third, I actually did start getting tired. So when it says eyes are getting dimmer and hearts were slow, I was actually feeling more tired. And I guess the stars let me doze because I kind of stopped thinking about all those huge questions for a while. Like, I'll think about it tomorrow night. Let me just, you know, they weren't giving me that big of a reason to ask any questions at that point because I kind of already either figured it out or decided to let it be. And then I fell asleep.
Do you find that you write better, like, before you're sleeping, like before you go to sleep or after you wake up, like right after that period of sleep?
I've asked this question on Tiny Writes because I personally can't write before like 7 p.m. Like during the day, I just can't get thoughts onto paper that I really want to. So I feel like the later it is, the more I can just be by myself and in my own head. And then the easier it is to write. And I took a writing workshop for a week, and it started at 9 in the morning. And I had no thoughts at 9 in the morning. I realized I couldn't think of much of anything. And then I'll come back to those same prompts or that same writing assignment later in the day and be like, oh, ooh, maybe I can put this in. I'm thinking of this now. So I've always been able to write more at night than in the day.
That's really interesting because I don't think that the time of day really affects my writing. I mean, sometimes if I'm like writing something before I go to sleep, like, oh, this is what I want to do tomorrow, then I'll think of something while I'm like in the process of writing that. But if I'm just chilling and not really doing anything, then no, I don't think that it really depends on the time. When I start to write, when I get inspiration, and then I start to form a poem or something, I think it's completely random. There's absolutely no pattern involved. It's just I hear an interesting word and I get inspired by it, or I think of a line in my head and I'm like, oh, I need to write this down. So I used to think that, like, oh, it's because of this thing or that thing. Like when I'm brushing my teeth, I get cool ideas. Or when I'm braiding my hair, I get cool ideas. But it's really just completely random. And I think that that's sort of like a nice thing, is to not force myself to come up with ideas and just let it come to me very naturally. So now, what was the editing process like for this poem? And a somewhat related question, actually a very related question. Do you find that your editing is generally the same for each poem that you've written? Or do some poems go through more changes than others?
Yeah, so in general, I'm not a huge fan of editing things. I think that's just personality-wise. I can't get into like the nitty-gritty details of commas and punctuations and things like that. For this poem, I didn't edit it at all. Well, no, I did. I put in some punctuation and fixed some spelling in a few words, but I wanted to keep it as original as possible from my mindset at that time. But for other poems, if I'm really trying to express a certain emotion or a certain event that's going on, then I'll usually edit it a bit more vigorously.
I think that my editing process definitely differs from poem to poem. And it also depends on how much I like the poem, because I feel like if I really like it, then I won't change that much of it. But if I'm just not feeling it, then I'm going to start changing everything. And if I start changing everything, then I'm like, eh, not really my kind of poem. But I do really like it to take some time away from it after I've written it and then go back and see, like, oh, is this really what I'm trying to say? Can I say it better? And is there anything I want to elaborate on and things like that? And not being like, how can I make it perfect? But just like, does this make me happy? Is this what I was trying to convey? That kind of thing. And not pushing myself to be like, this isn't the right grammar, or you've got to use a comma here, and that kind of thing. So what meaning do you like to take away from this? And what meaning do you think other people should take away? Big, big questions.
Oh, what would I want to take away from this? I would want other people to take away from this just kind of to think about the world in a different way. like sneezing stars and, you know, wrinkles of comets and things. And I guess, yeah, make them think in a different, from a different point of view. Personally, when I think of this poem, though, I don't know, I kind of just feel like at peace here, because I remember like the time of day in which I wrote it and just how like calm and peaceful it was. So I feel like I'd get a sense of serenity. Serenity, is that a word? Let me not use that word. I'd get a sense of kind of peace and calming from reading it again and having these questions come back into my head again.
Perfect. How did you first get into writing?
Ah, okay. Well, my very first piece of writing was when I was like 5 or 6, and I tried to write a whole, what I considered a novel, which was probably like 5 pages at the time. But I was a really horrible speller and writer, and so I kind of gave it up because I just didn't understand how to spell just about anything. And then later on, my friends joined this writing website, another writing website called Storybird, and they would kind of like chat with other users. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. I want to do that. So I got an account, not planning to write on it at all. I just wanted to like talk with people. And then I wrote my first poem that it was called Dag Nabbit. And it was a strange piece. It was very whimsical about losing a bunch of items and then finding them again. And I showed it to my parents, and they were like, oh, wow, this is really funny. And they like laughed out loud. And I was like, oh, wow, they actually understood what I meant. And then from then on, I started writing short little kind of whimsical pieces of poetry and things like that. And then when I got into high school, we looked at different, we read different, you know, works from Shakespeare or the Odyssey or whatever. And I realized that the poem can actually be darker than, you know, just some happy-go-lucky piece. And that's when I started to actually express myself and not just, you know, give like a cool ending to it. And then from there, I kind of branched out and expanded into different, you know, free form and limericks and things. And yeah, I've been stuck to writing ever since.
Very interesting. That reminds me of when I first, I guess I would consider it my first poem, or I guess the first one that I kind of shared with people. And this was during my very intense I'm a poet phase. And it was the first one I think that I showed to my parents. And it's actually the first one on Young Writers Project that I ever posted. So you can go check it out if you want. It's definitely pretty different from my style now, or maybe it's kind of similar, but I think the gist was that there are 6 children, and then they all eventually die in these interesting and different ways. And then it's about how, like, ah, everyone's so sad, everyone's dead, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what it's about. I can't completely remember. But anyway, that was during my very intense phase. And then I think I kind of switched between intense and lighthearted and metaphorical and whimsical and funny, and then back and forth and back and forth, depending on just like these different phases of my life, I guess, and just like how it correlated to my moods and such. So, yeah, it's always interesting to see how, like, I guess my style has expanded and evolved over time, and how it's never just like one straight line. It's always like all over the place. And oh my gosh, I sound like a toddler. I was just babysitting earlier, so now I've got that whole like mentality stuck in my head. Oh, actually, that reminds me. So the other day, I babysit this toddler a lot, and the other day we were reading a book, and it was like, pick the character out of the lineup who's so and so, and it was like, who's mad, who just dropped their juice, and they were like all these different characters, like animals and people and stuff. And then one page was who's in love, and you know, being the slightly older person, I knew the answer. I was like, oh, it's this little mouse who's blushing and holding flowers. But I didn't tell the kid. And then he pointed to this completely random Batman guy, and he was like, he's in love. And I said, oh, why is he in love? And he said, I don't know, he is. And then he pointed to a moose and said, moose is in love. And I was like, oh, this is so sweet. So I didn't tell him that it was actually the one who was blushing. And then I actually kind of wrote a poem after that, inspired by it. So the point of that story is that you can get inspiration in kind of weird ways or in situations where you wouldn't normally get inspired. And just kind of allow that to come into your mind and don't feel like now is not the time to think about writing. Just like think, wow, this is a cool idea. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to maybe expand on it if I like it. So there's the life lesson of the day. You're welcome. So what made you choose poetry instead of fiction or any other kind of writing?
Probably just the idea that I'm impatient. And I tried writing different fiction stories. And I think they're really cool. And like, props to people who can and have the patience to write, you know, a few pages of writing. I think I would just never complete full sentences because my brain was always like two steps ahead of whatever I was saying. So I had a lot of, you know, random sentences that didn't really make sense. And I felt poetry, you know, you could just put one word on one line and somehow it gives it so much meaning. Whereas in a fiction kind of format, you have to do more of like descriptive wording and, you know, bring in the character's emotions and everything. And I really love to learn how to write fiction a bit better. That would be really great. But I think the poetry part just has, it's a bit simpler formatting.
I can definitely relate to that on both like wanting to get better at it and also just not really liking it, because I feel like whenever I write stories for a class or a workshop or something, the people are always like, you need to describe this more, expand on this, like give us more detail and backstory and stuff. And I'm like, well, I just want to start writing about like how beautiful the tulips are in the moonlight. I don't want to write about like, and when this character's father died in 1922, blah, 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 blah. That's the part that I always get stuck on because I feel like I don't want to explain so much. I just want to keep describing things as they come to me, which is how I write poetry. So I think it'd be cool to kind of merge the two together and write a story using my style of poetry in a way. So I think I'd have to definitely figure out how to describe it more and give more details to it first. But yeah, I think it's cool to, you know, kind of figure out what your niche is, but then explore other niches and other different corners of whatever it is that you're interested in, whether it's sports or writing or whatnot. So how did you discover YWP? And how has it helped or influenced your writing or just been a part of your life?
Yeah, so it was actually my 9th grade English teacher who I never considered. I didn't know he was that into poetry of sorts, but he asked if me and my friends wanted to partake in some poetry slam at the time and to submit poems to him. So I said, oh yeah, sure, I will. So I submitted, you know, two or three, and he came back to me and he was like, okay, these are actually, I didn't know you wrote poetry. Do you have any more? So I gave him a binder in which I keep all of my random poetries in. And then he actually talked to a friend of his in getting published, which I laughed at him. I was like, that's funny. Me getting published is laughable. So he got back to me with this writer who's gotten published, and that writer started his career on Young Writers Project and then said, hey, you should really check out the site. It's a great way to get started. The community is amazing. I was like, maybe later. So, you know, maybe a year after, I found that email and then I finally checked out Young Writers Project.
Wow, that's so cool. Who was the writer who had started from my
DVD? I don't know. I don't remember his name. I know. I really wish I did.
It's funny because I feel like I've met so many people during my time at YWP, and just like it's interesting to read someone's work without knowing who they are and then meet them in person and then sort of like figure out how to mold those two ideas together in your mind. But yeah, that's so cool that you gave it a chance. I remember being like that too when I first got published, like, oh my gosh, really? Me? Are you sure? Is there another IRS who you're talking to? But this was back when YWP had fall and spring conferences, which I think was before you joined. But it was at UCFA in Montpelier, and in this big chapel, and everyone would come together, like all these different writers from Vermont, and actually some from like New Hampshire and Massachusetts too, props to those people. And they would all come together and have different writing classes, and then during lunch you could choose to get your picture taken and read your poem, and then they could choose to publish it later. So I did that. I read one of my first poems and took my picture. And it was a bad picture, but I was like, okay, no one's going to see it. It's fine. And then, of course, it was published. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing. I'm an author now. I'm going to sign books. I'm going to practice my signature. It's going to be perfect. And I was just so proud of myself and so happy. And then a while later, the picture began to haunt me because, you know, it's the only picture of me on Google. And it's from like 3 or 4 years ago. And of course, I look horrible. But beyond that, it's just so exciting to have your first publication and really get that gratification of like, I've done something. Because I feel like there aren't a lot of times when you can really just be proud of things that you've done and not feel like you could have done better. So that's my little story about publications and such.
No, and, I totally agree.
Yeah. And I think that over time, sometimes the like feeling of, oh my gosh, kind of fades a little bit because you're getting used to being published. But the overall like feeling that it gives you is the same every time. For me, at least, I still feel so grateful and so happy and so like, oh my gosh, I'm so cool and so like happy. But yeah, it's also interesting to sort of see how this thing that was once just a little bean of an idea in your mind is now like words on paper. Have you found that experience of seeing your, like, printed poems has just been so crazy?
Yeah, definitely. My mind always goes back to this American Girl doll movie called Kit Kittredge. It's great for, like, you know, my 10-year-old sister who loves it. And she wants to become a published writer in the newspaper, and so... Spoiler alert, I'm sorry if you didn't watch this, but you know,
come. Oh my gosh, I love this character. Oh my gosh, I was obsessed with American Girls. This is just the coolest thing ever. Continue.
Love American Girl though. So yeah, at the end, spoiler, she finally got published in the newspaper, right on the front cover, and she goes, I'm in print. And every time I get something from like a daily read to, you know, the monthly in the Voice, that's literally what I think of. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in print. And like so much gratitude every single time. Like that feeling hasn't, you know, gone away at all. It's still a very amazing experience to me.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that I just hope that I carry that gratitude throughout my publications. And let's just say in the future, hypothetically, I've been published a bunch. I don't want to become a jerk who's like, oh, well, I'm really cool, so they should be so lucky to have my poem. I want to still be like, this means so much to me and that they're choosing my poem and my words. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved American Girls. I did a whole like school year based off of their books and stuff, which was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I loved Kit, and she was the coolest. And she had that little roll top desk, little secretary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I was obsessed with that when I was younger.
Did you have Kit, the doll?
I think I do have the doll. I had like 15 of them at one point, and then I've been slowly selling them, which has been sad because, yes, you know, even though I haven't touched them in years, I still feel this very strong sense of like, you're mine. I'm possessive. Yes. I put blush on you when I was 6, so you're mine. But yeah, I've been letting go of them very, very slowly, but it's been interesting to see how like, you don't think about something for a really long time, and then as soon as like you're gonna get rid of it, then you're like, no, I can't get rid of it.
Are you kidding me? That has so many memories. Oh.
Yeah, just like thinking of the memories and the nostalgia of like being a kid, and just the only thing that you're thinking about is like, what dress do I want to put on my doll? And not like things happening in the world or things happening in your life or like all these other things that have stressed us out now. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think that I definitely get very nostalgic when I go through things from my childhood, like books that I had or journals that I had or like stuffed animals. And like, even though I don't think about it a lot, I don't consciously think like, I have a stuffed raccoon in my closet who's named Coon or something like that. I don't think about that. But like, as soon as I feel like I'm disconnected from that part of my life, then I get sad.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I feel like that's why it takes me so long to clean my room,
Me
because
too.
you just start going, oh my gosh, my old diary, man. I love this little cat that I haven't played with in years. And then next thing you know, you're just surrounded by all of your childhood. And like, I'm not giving any of this up, and didn't clean my room either. But
I've been procrastinating going through the area under my desk for about 6 months, and it is disturbing. There's so much paper, so many notebooks, so many books, just so many things that I have to get rid of. And I think I've sort of been putting it off because I don't like getting rid of things, not in like a hoarder's way, but just because I feel like, I don't know, like there's some memory attached to it. How could I get rid of the binder that I had in fifth grade? How could I do that to myself? So, yeah, I get very dramatic when I have to get rid of things.
Me too.
So, back to writing. Two questions. These were actually in a writing class that I took, and I found them to be very interesting prompts to use. So, why do you love to write, and why are you terrified to write? Big questions. Big things to think about.
Okay. I love to write because I think I can write things that I wouldn't otherwise say. I feel like I'm a very, not reserved person, but I do tend to keep my opinions to myself if I don't feel like, you know, it's no one needs to hear them unless I think they should. So just by putting them down on paper and being like, okay, this is, you know, what's been in my head for so long. I guess it's a different kind of communication that I really enjoy. And also just because it's fun. To just to have people look at what's been in your head for so long and be like, hey, look, this, I mean, we were talking about dreams before and just how, you know, that dream is now on paper for other people to kind of sort of understand, you know, kind of what happened. I'm afraid to write, probably because of the same reason, because I get to put my thoughts onto paper and sometimes I don't always like what I put down, you know? So sometimes you just keep on writing and then one time you're like, whoa, why? I didn't even know I felt this way until it was on paper. I'm like, that's that's not only frightening and I didn't know I felt that way, but also realizing that maybe you're not as strong as you think you are. And in that way, it's just kind of a realization, which isn't a bad thing or a good thing. It just kind of is. And in that, it could be kind of frightening. But I think overall, I wouldn't not stop writing because of that.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I think that what's interesting is that it's kind of the same reason for both, like the same sort of, I guess, explanation. But that's interesting because in the writing class, I think that almost all of us said that we love to write and we're terrified to write for the same reason, because we, you know, see our thoughts come to life. Or we find out things about ourselves that we hadn't really acknowledged before, or just things like that. And like the discovery of yourself is both very terrifying because you find out things that you hadn't really thought about, but you also find out things that are really inspiring and things that really want motivate you to continue what you're doing. So what kind of writing do you like to read? Like what genre and that kind of thing? And what makes you like a poem, or what makes certain lines stick in your head?
So usually I'm not a huge poetry reader. Obviously I read the things from Young Writers Project, but I don't have like books of poetry that I kind of just go to and start reading. I should do that though, because I think that'd be a really amazing way to pass the time. I think lines that stick out to me, I don't think it's anything in particular. I think I could relate to almost nothing or almost anything from a given poem. And then I feel like the poems that I get exposed to in school, there was one called The Road Less Traveled By. And that one really stuck, mostly because it took me so long to kind of grasp what it meant. And then even after I did kind of understand what it meant, it's still, every time I read it, I could think of, it could be interpreted in different ways. And so that last line, I took the road less traveled by, always stuck with me.
That was very interesting that you mentioned that, because I read an article about that poem, And it was this person sort of analyzing it and saying like these different interpretations and sort of saying how like there's a lot of room for interpretation, yes, from the reader, because is the narrator taking the road less traveled by others or by him? You know, the path that he wouldn't normally take or the path that other people wouldn't normally take. So it's interesting because there are so many different ways that you can like understand it and sort of find bits of yourself in it. And that's actually a really great example of a poem that can definitely shape the way that you read other poems and write your own poems. I think that what makes me like a poem is just something that instantly catches my attention. I don't really want to have to read through like the whole poem to find something at the very end that I like. I want something in the beginning that's like, whoa, this is a really cool concept or metaphor or something like that. And also I think that like it's hard for me to read poems that are very wordy and very like 18th century kind of language because it's like stuffy and I feel like it's just an assignment and not something I would choose to read. But lately I've been reading a lot of Lily Collins's poetry and I really love his poems because I feel like the simplicity but also just like his storytelling is so amazing. Very inspiring. And one more question. What books do you think have shaped you as a writer or just as a human being? And of course, this is a huge question and I feel like I give a different answer every time. So don't feel like you have to just say one book or whatnot.
Oof. Okay. Books that have shaped my writing. Well, when I first started reading chapter books that I actually understood, in terms of like I could read, you know, whole paragraphs and not get confused by them, it was the Percy Jackson series. And so that will forever be one of my favorite series ever because it kind of represents my entire childhood. Like I started reading them in sixth grade and I still haven't finished the Trials of Apollo series. So I'm still reading them to this day because I just love them so much. And I think I love his writing style and how, you know, he could be Rick Riordan. He can have a very serious sort of tone at some points, but then he can also be very whimsical and very humorous at other times. And this has basically shaped my idea for writing poetry in kind of how it's presented. And then another book is actually Dr. Seuss, because I read that like as a kid and I just loved how it rhymed, you know, with the simple right foot, left foot, red foot, blue, or whatever it was. And it was just amazing. You could just read it as fast as you want and it would still make sense and it would sound really, really cool. So I think that's when I started getting into like the phonetics and just the way things sound and how awesome that could be. And so I try and incorporate that into my poetry as well.
Very interesting. Like I said, my answer kind of changes every time that I sort of answer this question. But I think going back to when I was a lot younger, I really liked fairy tales. I was really into like Brothers Grimm and Hans Christian Andersen and that sort of thing. So I was definitely really into that whole like princess fairy kind of vibe. And I actually wrote a poem that was sort of based on a fairy tale and that was really interesting. I think that sort of like anything can happen in this setting kind of, you know, feel of fairy tales is what kind of inspires me and what stuck with me is that like the freedom of like making up the world that you want in your writing and not feeling like these are the rules, I can't break them, that kind of thing. And I also really loved Alice in Wonderland, The Wizard of Oz, and I remember my dad reading them to me when I was younger, so it's very like nostalgic in that way because yeah, we would just kind of connect over books, and that's why they stuck with me. And yeah, but those are actually kind of the same as fairy tales, where, you know, isn't really any kind of rule. Like, you can't make up this character because of this reason. Just make up what you want if that's what you want to, you know, write about. So, that's a little bit of some books that have inspired me and kind of stuck with me over the years. But I'm sure that when I'm a little bit older, I'm going to have the biggest list of books. And it's also kind of difficult because I feel like it depends on my mood. I'll definitely remember certain books more than others, depending on how I'm feeling. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. I've had a lot of fun recording this with you, and I'm so glad that we got to. This has been episode 19 of Line Break, where I've talked with Troublemaker about her poem 4 a.m. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 20. Bye!